win in a shootout. How exciting. And I'm so thrilled for the Blackhawks. And, you know, every win is exciting no matter what. We can all cry together over the losses. But it's a win, so let's celebrate. You are listening to the Patty Vasquez Show. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios. And by the way, I know many of you are trying to get to sleep. I'll try to keep it down. If you're driving, though, I hope not to lull you to sleep. But either way, if there's a reason why you can't catch the rest of our show and want to hear the conversation, don't forget everything is podcast on WGNradio.com. You can also subscribe to my podcast on iTunes or TuneIn or iHeart, wherever you listen to your podcasts. And follow us on Patty V Show on Facebook or Patty Vasquez CHI on Instagram and on Twitter. And tonight, Tom Hush is producing. We've got Vic Vaughn at the news desk. And we are thrilled to welcome back to the studio from RogerEbert.com, one of the assistant editors. And also, wait, tell me the other one, Matt Fagerholm.
Oh, yes. Indie Outlook.
Indie Outlook.
Yes.
And I wanted you to come back. Well, I want you to keep coming back if you'll indulge us with these late hours.
Oh, this is a joy. I love being on the show. Absolutely.
I appreciate it. And my Screen Actors Guild Awards are due on Friday. My ballot is in front of me right now, and I have the digital copy. And then I thought, oh, well, let's go ahead and double down with the Academy Awards conversation as well.
Yes.
How did you feel when you saw the awards, the list come out this morning? What were your thoughts?
I thought they were playing it very safe for the most part, but there were some inspired choices in the mix. I think, by and large, the Spirit Awards, which come out the day before the Oscars, are a lot more inspired, a lot more films I'm more passionate about. But there was one film nominated for an Oscar this year that I think I woke up everyone on my apartment floor because I was so excited. It's a documentary called Minding the Gap from Great Cartemquin Films production company in Chicago. It's a beautiful film. That was the one I was most excited about. It's set in Rockford. You can stream it on Hulu as well.
And behind you, Tom Hush just led his own cheering squad.
Yes.
Behind the glass, by the way. He's very excited about that too. Tom?
Huge fan of that movie. Director Bing Liu. Wow, what a young talent with such a huge career in front of him. It's a movie that you need to go stream, not right now because you got to listen to the show, but after the show, go watch Minding the Gap.
Okay, and it brought in a huge crowd at the Music Box the night before, actually. He all came back, and it's about him and just these two friends. They're skateboarders in Rockford, and the more they sort of learn about each other's lives, the more they realize they all had one encounter or another with domestic abuse of some kind in their lives. And so it's through making this movie that the actual making the movie becomes this healing catharsis in their lives, and it's incredible. It shows you what movies can do. It can actually heal you in some ways.
Well, and our friend Paul Favre devastated by the what many are saying.
Oh, of course, yes.
The snubbing of "Won't You Be My Neighbor?"
Absolutely.
The series about Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Morgan Neville. It's a beautiful film. Yeah. I mean, yeah, and that was on my best of the year list as well. And I think it's very much following the same pattern as a film that's very close to me, Life Itself, about Roger Ebert, who is, you know, obviously my boss's, you know, husband, one of my main inspirations in my life. And that film was just as beloved, I believe, when it was out, and it won the Producers Guild Award for Best Documentary, just as Won't You Be My Neighbor did. And then a few days later, it's nowhere in the nominees. And I think they just don't, they tend to stay away from films of very well-known figures.
Oh, to sort of honor the filmmakers that are going kind of against the grain taking chances.
And I think that in both cases, the filmmakers were taking chances in terms of style and how they're approaching the subject. It's just, if it's someone who's very well-known, who's the focus of the movie, I feel like they tend to look for stories of people that don't really get a lot of the spotlight.
Hollywood tries, I mean, I get it, though. I mean, great for the filmmakers.
I'm not saying that's the right thing, but it seems like that's their tendency somehow.
Yeah, I could see that. So that's your big exciting one.
Yeah, Minding the Gap, absolutely.
And that is available, you said, to stream on Hulu.
On Hulu, and it'll be on PBS sometime next month too.
Now, I won't be able to do that tonight. I can't run home and do that tonight because I still have homework to do on my Screen Actors Guild
that's
awards.
Right. Well, we can focus on that predominantly if you'd like. I don't really get to talk about this with an actual SAG member, so this is a quite exciting just for that.
Well, we can overlap a little bit because there are movies in the Best Picture and then also Best Cast for the Screen Actors Guild Awards.
Yes.
I know that Green Book is one of the movies. Wait, let me see if I can find this.
Oh, Green Book's actually not for the Ensemble.
It's not for Ensemble, just for Vigo.
Screen Actors Guild, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So is he let's see, is he nominated in the Best Actor category?
Yeah, Viggo's up, and Mahershala Ali.
What do you think when two actors are up against each other in the same category? Are they in the same category in this
one? They're not, although I think they should be. I personally think that Mahershala is a co-lead with Viggo, but it's the politics of award season, like who's going to have the best chance in what category is how they kind of delineate it all. So.
This is the movie I'm going home to watch tonight, but there is a lot of controversy about the portrayal of these characters, isn't there?
Absolutely. Well, it's Green Book and Bohemian Rhapsody. Those are the two films that are crowd pleasers. They're kind of like comfort food, but there's a lot of factual inaccuracies riddled through them. But Mahershala Ali is the great thing about this movie. It would have been a great film if it was more about him,
right,
and less about the guy who's son is the one who kind of brought this whole project together. And the main objections are the fact that the surviving family of Don Shirley, who Mahershala plays, they said, well, why did anyone consult us about this film? And, you know, they didn't get any of this right about the character. And Mahershala actually apparently called up the family and said, I'm so sorry, I didn't realize. And so there is a lot of that behind the scenes tension that they're hoping to kind of, you know, paper down or water down somehow in the award season.
And you mentioned similarly Bohemian Rhapsody having a lot of inaccuracies. Now, Nick D has many times and once again today stated that Bohemian Rhapsody is the worst film that has ever been nominated for Best Picture.
I wouldn't go quite that far, but I know where he's coming from. I know where he's coming from. Because when I sat there, I was like, wow, this is just a really entertaining music video. Like, I could just appreciate it on that level. It wasn't, like, extremely loud and incredibly close where I wanted to jab out my eyeballs, you know. It's just
wow.
It wasn't quite that level of torture for
me. That's good to know, and I will avoid that movie as well, then.
Yes.
I would say that, you know, watching it, I don't know the inaccuracies that are portrayed in the movie. What I saw was sort of a lot of shortcuts to get things over with, right? Even just in the beginning of him meeting running up to the band members, and their singer just left.
And they're just in Midwest. Like, there's no specific location. It's just like, it's very generic, by the book.
Yeah.
By the numbers biopic.
Right. Even the idea of like how we will rock you, you know, we need something. And all of a sudden they're all stomping.
All of a sudden he starts doing Another One Bites the Dust. It's like, where'd that come from? We don't know.
The bass player, right?
Yes.
By the way, I could not get over, I was like, who is that bass player?
And I love this actor, Joseph Mazzello, I believe.
Who plays the little boy in Jurassic Park.
Jurassic Park. And Simon Birch. We can also talk about that film as well.
Yes.
He's great. I mean, I really didn't have any problems with the actors. It was mainly just the script that was letting me down quite a bit.
It had a lot of holes. The last scene is great. You know,
The last 20 minutes are, I think they are pretty much worth the price of admission. That and Rami Malek really trying his best to bring this character to life, even though I thought they kind of overdid it with the teeth, personally, at least at the beginning. Like, whatever they were having him wear at the beginning, I was like, this is almost
too
much.
And it was almost, that's what it was. You know, it almost felt like a Wikipedia movie of Queen.
Absolutely.
Because then I'm like Googling, I'm like, did he really have missing molars? And that was why he thought his voice sounded like that.
Was he diagnosed with AIDS before the Live Aid concert?
It felt like he
wasn't. And that's the thing. And that was what was heartbreaking to me. Because it's so poignant when you see it in the film, like, oh my gosh, he knew he was gonna die, and it just brings all this new meaning to the songs. And I guess it does have that poignance anyway, to an extent. But he wasn't diagnosed for, you know,
so they didn't even have the right Wikipedia page, is what you're saying?
No, exactly. They were all mixed together somehow.
That, okay, now I'm annoyed.
Yes.
So we may as well stay with the leading actor, since I have both the list up for compare. So Christian Bale won the Golden Globe Award. He's nominated for both the SAG and the Academy Award.
Yes.
And it was an interesting performance. Mm-hmm. I enjoy the movie. Isn't spectacular, I don't think.
No, it's not worth the 8 nominations it got at the Academy Awards.
It seems like more of a political vote from everybody.
Yeah,
right.
It's a pointing their
fingers kind of a nomination.
Absolutely,
so this is all your fault.
Absolutely,
kind of a thing.
And even Christian Bale said no one would care about my performance if it wasn't for the amazing prosthetic work, which is true. I mean, I think it's very much in union with that. It's just that's what makes him so unrecognizable, I think.
Yeah, and you know. He was good, but
So
here's something I'm curious about. So in the Academy Award category for leading role for actor, William Dafoe at Eternity's Gate, he was not nominated for a Screen Actors Guild Award.
That's right. I guess it's not enough people saw it.
Yeah, I have no
idea. It's a small movie.
Have you seen this one?
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, he plays Da Vinci, plays an amazing, historic figure.
A bit. A little, yeah.
And he's wonderful. And I think the movie itself gets bogged down a bit by some of the kind of the stylistic sort of approaches they're trying to use. Uh-huh. But it's a great actor showcase. And he's wonderful in it. So I mean, I'm really just happy for him. I think he's one of our great living actors. So I'm happy that he got a nomination.
Do you know where
he
was born?
No,
grew up in Appleton, Wisconsin, within our listening area. He's not necessarily proud of it. It seems that he doesn't go back to visit and say, "Hey, I loved living here."
He has been known to visit. I think Odd Obsessions in Chicago, though.
That's good to know.
Sometimes he'll come in there. So
before we leave this category, so we have Christian Bale in the SAG Awards. Christian Bale, Bradley Cooper, Rami Malek. Yes. Viggo Mortensen, and then John David Washington.
Yes, who I had the pleasure of interviewing when he was in town for Black Klansman, and it's really exciting. It's amazing to see him. You know, you don't want to say like follow in his father's footsteps. He just happens to be, you know, the son of Denzel Washington. He's definitely charting his own path. But I mean, it's a very strong performance, and it is kind of weird to see him not in the mix at the Oscars because Black Klansman is a major contender this year.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised by that too. So I'm just going to go. I think I know who I'm going to vote for the SAG. I'm not going to tell you.
This is just my advice.
Yes.
Go against the grain. I mean, we're already seeing the obvious names already getting set at this point. I think Christian Bale is pretty much destined for it, but why not? I think you should vote with your heart. Vote for what you really want.
I'm not going to tell you, except maybe he's related to Denzel Washington. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening to the Patty Vasquez Show. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios. Joining me in studio is Matt Fagerholm. He is an assistant editor with several other individuals. RogerEbert.com and
IndieOutlook.com.
IndieOutlook.com. I've got to make a card for you.
I'll just give you one of mine.
Hey, Matt, introduce yourself to the audience and we'll do it that way too.
I would love to do that.
That way you're in control of your own information.
And now I must control something I just said. This is what's called an 11 o'clock at night snafu here. So it was when I said Willem Dafoe played a famous artist, it's actually Van Gogh. I just want to say.
That is okay.
Yes.
I think you were forgiven.
Just want to make sure. Yes. If Dafoe's listening.
You were not being chastised. If he's listening, hi Mr. Willem
Dafoe. Yes.
The listeners were not chastising you, so don't worry. They weren't raging for you
Wonderful.
To be removed.
Well, it's because no one's seen the movie. Everyone needs to see the movie.
There you go.
Sure.
Now is a reason to go see the movie. Is it Van Gogh or is it
exactly. It's
Da Vinci.
The controversy of the award season.
Let us know. So we are talking about the Academy Award nominations, which came out this morning, as well as the Screen Actors Guild nominations. I am voting in the Screen Actors Guild, and I have not finished my ballot. The awards are going to be on this Sunday, and Matt was just telling me that the Academy Awards are on February 24th.
Yes, Sunday.
A Sunday.
The same night that Eugene Levy and Catherine O'Hara are performing at the Chicago Theater. So,
okay, what's happening?
Yeah. Which I bought a ticket to, but I might have to actually cover the Oscars this year, so someone's going to have to get my lucky tickets.
I am so knee deep in their series that I can't say on the air.
Oh, yes.
I'm in the fourth season. It's so good.
Well, I just think they're comedy gods. So.
They're incredible.
Yeah, they're going to be at the Chicago Theater. We should just talk about them for the next 2 hours.
Yeah, let's do that. How are they not nominated for the Screen Actors Guild Awards? Okay, let's go back to... Okay, so 312-981-7200 if you want to join the conversation and tell us who you liked, what movies you thought should have been nominated, or do you love these nominations, let us know. We are on the category for female actor in a leading role, both the Academy Award. So on the Academy Award list, there is Yalitza Aparicio from Roma, and you were saying off the air something incredible.
Yes, this is the first bit of acting she's done. Ever, really. I mean, at least on film that we've seen. And, and it's an incredible performance. And the more you learn about how Alfonso Cuarón, the director, made this movie, the more you're just amazed at how he just kept her in the moment. There were times where she didn't know what she was going to film day to day. It was always just being spontaneous in the moment. And I think it's magic what they created together on this.
I started watching it on my Netflix.
Yes.
And then I thought, well, I'm supposed to watch this on the big screen. But now Tom has given me an article that cinemas are not going to run Roma to snub the streaming services. Have you seen this?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, because they're trying to release it wider with the nominations.
Yeah.
They're not going to. That's a darn shame.
AMC and Regal, at least, will not be showing
really?
Roma.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So you've got to find that on the bigger screen or take your. See, I have a deep tube television from 1999.
Yeah.
So I kind of think I need to up that up a little, kind of.
Well, I mean, and we're so spoiled being in Chicago. I saw it at the Music Box Theater. I took my sister in 70 millimeter, and we were crying by the end. This is a phenomenal piece of cinema. cinema. I mean, it's a shame.
That's lovely.
It's a shame because, I mean, they want it in theaters as well as on streaming. I don't think there should be a ban, quite frankly.
So she is up for Best Actress. She's not up for the Screen Actors Guild Award.
No.
Now, I'll tell you my two favorites in this category for the Screen Actors Guild. My two favorites are Glenn Close. However, I have not seen The Wife, so I'm not basing that on the performance.
Sure.
The other is, I think, probably the long shot for both the Academy Awards and SAG is Melissa McCarthy.
Sure, absolutely.
Can You Ever Forgive Me? The story about Lee Israel, who I never knew anything about this, and she's good.
Yes.
She's despicable and unlikable at some points, but then you also, she does a great job of showing you that she's really seriously depressed.
Absolutely.
And it's heartbreaking.
As a literary forger, someone who's just like, I'm just trying to get my work out there, and it's like, no, you're just past your prime and that's it. But she's just so gifted at channeling all of these great writers that she has this encyclopedic knowledge of.
Yeah.
And it's a fascinating psychological portrait. And what's so great about McCarthy in this is that she has this, you know, recognizable persona that we've seen in Bridesmaids, but sometimes it can be used as a crutch, and she never gets into that shtick, ever.
Mm-hmm. No.
It's a really flawless, just entirely different character that she creates here.
She's an angry, hostile person from the first moment you meet her.
Yes.
And I loved her for every minute of it. And
yes.
Richard E. Grant, we'll talk about him in a minute.
Oh, yeah.
The other nominees in the Screen Actors Guild Award were Lady Gaga for Star is Born, mm-hmm. Emily Blunt in Mary Poppins Returns, mm-hmm. and Olivia Colman in The Favorite. And I think that it seems as though in the Academy Awards, she seems to be the favorite.
I don't think so.
No?
I think this is Glenn Close's year entirely. It is, because this is her seventh Oscar nomination. She's never won. This is her year.
Okay.
I really felt like as soon as she gave that amazing speech at the Globes, this was affirming her as like the leader of the pack.
All right.
And I mean, Olivia Colman's great. I actually just watched The Favorite a second time right before coming over here. And it's a great, tough performance. But it's interesting, again, the studio politics. Is she really the lead? Like, I think Emma Stone and Rachel Weisz are more the leads.
That's
quite
true.
Frankly. So, I don't know.
That's truly an ensemble. Right
it
there.
Is, very much.
We are hanging out with Matt Fagerholm. He is assistant editor at RogerEbert.com and I had it written down.
IndieOutlook.com. Yeah.
And we will continue our conversation about the award season for movies. And also, we'll talk some television, too, because I've got those nominations, too.
I got to
check those boxes. When we come back, it's the Patty Vasquez Show, 720 WGN. It is Tuesday night. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios, and I'm wondering if any of you got up early to find out which movies were nominated for Academy Awards this morning. Some people get very excited. I don't know. I wonder if this season seems a little bit lackluster to folks. I'm not feeling as much excitement, and I wonder if Matt Fagerholm from RogerEbert.com and IndieOutlook.com is feeling that from other people. I feel like you and Tom get very excited about the filmmaking.
Yeah.
I get the sense that other people are not as drawn in by these films.
It's interesting. Because I think there actually are more high-grossing films nominated this year, so they're thinking maybe that'll get more excitement, but maybe not. Who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, I think the Academy has to. I just feel like the secret is to find a way to make the work exciting, and especially the categories that they don't think are that exciting. Like, and they want to start cutting them from the telecast, and I'm like, nope.
This
has to be about the work. It has to be about making it worth watching. So
now the Screen Actors Guild Awards, they obviously don't do Best Picture; they do Best Cast.
Yes,
and so we're going through some of these categories. I'm sort of filling out my ballot as we talk.
Oh, that's
you're helping
good.
Me
that's
talk
good.
Through
Absolutely.
It a little bit.
That's
so,
why I'm here.
And we're also comparing the actors that were nominated for Screen Actors Guild Awards, perhaps, or were a warrant for the Academy Awards, and
yes.
how that differs a little bit. And for the Best Supporting Actress for the Screen Actors Guild is Amy Adams for Vice, Marina de Tavira from
yes.
Roma, Regina King for If Beale Street Could Talk. This is for the Academy Awards. Emma Stone, The Favorite, and Rachel Weisz for The Favorite.
Yes.
So, first of all, in that category, do you have any...
Regina King's won it already.
Oh, opinion. Really?
I think there's just... these frontrunners have just been coming up in different shows, and I feel like she really has the lock on this. Absolutely. And she's wonderful. It's a great role. I mean, really, the whole cast... I mean, Beale Street should be up for ensemble, I should just say. It's one of the best ensembles of the year. Barry Jenkins, great director. If you've seen Moonlight, you know how talented he is. And it is a film that's there is a lead, Kiki Layne, this young wonderful actress, but it really is a great balanced ensemble too, I think.
Tom?
Anyway,
I did want to ask you a question, Matt.
Yes.
For Beale Street. Now I sincerely loved Beale Street.
Yeah.
I didn't love it as much as Moonlight, but like that's
no,
not accounting for taste or anything
yeah,
like that.
Yeah.
Barry Jenkins is, you know, one of the best working directors right now.
Moonlight sets a very high bar.
He really does. Yeah. He really dug himself a hole with that one. A hole of quality.
Yes.
But I I wanted to get your read on Brian Tyree Henry, because he stuck out to me in that movie so much.
He has one of the best monologues in the film.
He took over that movie for about 10 minutes, and it was so good. I wanted to get your thoughts on him.
I had the great pleasure of seeing him on Broadway, actually, acting opposite, I think it was Michael Cera and Chris Evans in a Kenneth Lonergan play. Called Lobby Hero, and he was brilliant in that. He was extremely funny, but also very intimidating and deeply tragic. That man has the whole spectrum that he can play, and we see it on the show Atlanta. We see all these things, and you're right. I mean, I think just that one. I know there's one pivotal scene where he gives this monologue about being put away, about being in jail, and like what that does to your soul. And it's an incredible piece of acting. It shows that this is the textbook definition of a great ensemble contender.
Well, and the thing about If Beale Street Could Talk, not nominated for an ensemble or any of the awards for the Screen Actors Guild Award.
Exactly.
So weird.
See, what's so weird is that the SAG Awards, and I think it's actually oftentimes one of the best shows because it doesn't play people off. So I think they kind of did that last year, but it really seems to be more about the work and honoring the work, and it's actors voting for actors. But it's oftentimes the safest choices
of
any show.
Well,
I don't know why.
I'm curious.
I don't know why.
So that's for the Academy Awards, but for the Screen Actors Guild Awards, it's Emma Stone from The Favourite, Emily Blunt, A Quiet Place. Mark, by the way, I watched A Quiet Place. That was rough. Yeah.
It is.
You don't watch that alone.
Tense. Absolutely.
You should have someone's hand to hold it.
And Emily Blunt is excellent in
there.
She's
really good.
She definitely deserves the nomination.
Margot Robbie. I mean, like, having to deliver a baby like that?
I can't.
What? I mean, like, really, how high are the stakes in this movie?
She had two very different bathtub scenes this year. One in that, one in Mary Poppins. Very different in Mary Poppins.
Just a little bit. And then Rachel Weisz for The Favourite and Amy Adams for Vice, which, I mean...
I didn't get that nomination at all. She's one of our great actresses, but I really think it's gotten to the point where she just sneezes, she'll get nominated. I hate to say it. She's great, but there's nothing in that performance I found memorable.
Plus, I think she's nominated for Sharp Objects.
We don't burn our bras, we wear them. Damn. That's all I remember.
It was weird.
I mean, Sharp Objects, she was great. I think that was one of her best performances.
Yeah,
of her
she's
career.
Amazing in Sharp Objects. Like,
absolutely.
I was in pain. Like, I was like, am I depressed and going to start drinking vodka out of a water bottle?
Because
I'm watching Amy Adams in the small town of Missouri.
And it goes against the grain of everything she got famous for, is playing those wonderfully sweet. It's total night and day.
So good. Yeah. So in this category, this is a tough one for me
it's tough because the front runner is nowhere to be seen, which is Regina King. She's not in there. So this one is
I'm going to have to figure this one out for myself. I think. I'll work on that one later.
I think Emily Blunt could win, actually, because she had, a lot of people are sad that she got snubbed for Mary Poppins, and she's had an amazing year between those two films. And I think she'll become the favorite because Emma Stone, Rachel Weisz, both exceptional in The Favorite, but they keep canceling each other out. I don't know if there's one that has an edge over the other.
Well, which is why I'm wondering if Margot Robbie could steal this one.
Maybe. And she's fantastic in Mary Queen of Scots. I wish more people saw that one. Yeah,
she is fascinating in that film. So for again, we're kind of going back and forth a little bit because the Screen Actors Guild Awards are this Sunday, and I have until Friday to submit my ballot. And so we're kind of talking some of these through. So for best, and we're also blending this with a conversation about the Academy Award nominations that came out this morning. Now, I did finally watch, and he's not nominated for the Academy Award, but Timothy Chalamet in Beautiful Boy is incredible.
Yes.
He's nominated for the Screen Actors Guild Award. I don't think he's going to win. I think we all know that Sam Elliott is going to run away with this one, don't you think?
Oh, do you think so?
You think Marshall Ali?
I think Mahershala Ali keeps winning for Green Book, even though it is technically kind of a co-lead performance. I feel like he's
a better performance, as far as I know, than Sam Elliott.
I wouldn't say it's a better performance necessarily, because I think Sam Elliott is brilliant.
Oh, he's heartbreaking
in A Star Is Born. I would love to see him win.
Me too.
Also because Mahershala like just won for Moonlight. But then it becomes not about the work. It becomes about other work and how it's sandwiched together. But I would love to see Sam Elliott get in there, and Richard E. Grant's great.
Yes.
Adam Driver's good in Black Klansman. I didn't think it was the best. Again, it's a performance that was good, but I don't think
he's almost like comedic relief in it.
Yeah,
a little bit.
I've got a bias.
Yes.
I love everything he's in.
I mean,
I love
Adam Driver. I just feel like he's given so much more interesting performances.
Yeah, I mean, it's
just this one. I don't know.
It's not even... I was one of the few people, I feel like, that really enjoyed, like, Patterson.
I love Patterson.
I think that's more of what he wants to do, but I think he was just jazzed to be in a Spike Lee film.
Oh, sure. I mean, he's perfect for what he's... asked to do in it. But yeah, Timothée Chalamet is one of our. It's watching him is like how I felt watching Heath Ledger in The Dark Knight and Brokeback Mountain. I was like, this is going to be a major force, and he already is.
It's a heartbreaking movie.
Yeah, he's going to have an incredible career, I think.
Well, as far as Sam Elliott goes, and I when Paul Newman won for Color of Money. Right. It was not for The Color of Money.
No,
let's be honest.
No.
So that's kind of, I mean,
it was for The Hustler. It was for Cool Hand Luke.
Everything
for,
he'd ever done before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Don't you think? So I think there's a possibility of that happening for Sam Elliott. Right.
It could. Absolutely. I mean, and he said, again, it's something he can't say on the air, but it's about time is basically what he said in reaction to his nomination. But yeah, I mean, he has 15, 20 minutes of screen time, and it's the definition of a great supporting performance. Mahershala Ali is really a lead. I'd like to see a supporting actor win in the supporting category, personally.
So. Okay, so that's the supporting categories, and I think I've made my choice there.
Yes, and instead of Timothée Chalamet in the Oscars, it's Sam Rockwell for Vice. Again,
no.
Funny, but no, not Oscar-worthy. At all, and he just won last year. So come on, give someone else a chance.
He is pretty funny. For those who haven't seen Vice, he plays President Bush.
Yes,
and interesting. It was
hot dog or whatever. Yeah,
it's pretty well done.
Yeah.
So let's take a break here. We'll come back. We'll talk about Best Picture, and basically, I'll have to do it as Best Ensemble. Will sort of be the reflective category on
Sweet.
This one. More after this. We're hanging out with Matt Fagerholm from RogerEbert.com and Outlook.
Indie Outlook.
There it is.
There you go.
The right things.
That's
down.
Why I'm here.
Yeah, I know. I've got so much information. 312-981-7200 to join our conversation anytime. You can call or text us. 312-981-7200. What do you think? The Academy Awards were announced early this morning, and we are talking a little bit about that in relation also to the Screen Actors Guild Award, because I'm just kind of filling out my ballot while I'm doing my show. It's kind of like doing my homework with a group study, Matt Fagerholm. It's a Fagerholm.
It's what you got to do.
He's assistant editor at RogerEbert.com as well as IndieOutlook.com. Is that you're the editor of?
Yes, that's just my own site.
Your own site.
Yeah.
Excellent. And we were talking about Sam Elliott, and I suspect that I would bet that he's going to win because everyone wants to give him an Academy Award.
That would be exciting. I mean, but the tide would have to turn because it's been Mahershala winning up to this point. So that's the easy predictions to make. It's like, well, he'll just keep winning, just like with Regina King. But who knows? You know,
I'm just saying.
So, you know, the tides could turn.
Let's see what Doc thinks. Hey, Doc, how are you doing?
Hey, pretty good. I got to see 3 or 4 movies to be totally caught up for the Oscars, and I did love Mahershala and Green Book, but I know you love Sam Elliott, and I just can't let it go without saying last year in The Hero with Laura Prepon and Nick Offerman, that was a great movie.
Absolutely.
Great performance, perfect casting, and just a great story. It's a shame more people didn't see that movie. I own it. I loan it out to people. It's one of those, you know, he wins his time for a career achievement. That's fine with me.
I have to check this movie out.
And it's a great lead performance. I'm so glad that.
You haven't seen it?
No.
Oh my God.
We had that at our Chicago Critics Festival, actually.
Oh, you did?
But, yeah.
Oh, lovely. See? This is a way to also catch up on movies I might have missed.
Yes. Well, it was The Hero, and then it was his supporting role in Grandma, actually, opposite Lily Tomlin. He's in it for 15 minutes, and it's, again, like Star is Born. He's in it for a brief moment, and it just breaks your heart. I mean, all those three performances together kind of have just increased my love for this guy.
Is it me or has Sam Elliott looked the exact same age for the last 35 years?
He has. I think so. No, and he's had the same voice for sure.
Oh, no doubt about it. Well, thank you for telling me about that movie, Doc. Well, do you have any favorites from the Academy Award nominations? You said you had a few you have to catch up on, but did you have any thoughts about it?
I was a big fan of The Favorite.
Yep.
And I love Star is Born. I love Bradley Cooper. I think Green Book's going to get this Best Picture. But I haven't seen Roma yet, so...
Oh, there you go.
Gotta see that. I haven't seen Black Klansman. Not interested in Black Panther. I'd still like to see the Melissa McCarthy movie.
Yeah, Can You Ever Forgive Me, I thought was a good movie. And just...
But so far, I thought Green Book, you know, just not a lot of good movies for adults out there, but that was really informative, and Viggo was great in anything. He just...
Yep.
You know, Captain Fantastic, he dives into it, you know.
He does.
Yeah.
He does.
And he's a great guy, too.
Oh, that's good. Well, that's good to know. Thank you so much, Doc. Well, have fun Have fun catching up on all the movies before the Academy Awards. Now, for Best Picture, there isn't obviously the category for the Screen Actors Guild. There's a Best Ensemble. So they have Star is Born, Black Panther, Black Klansman, Bohemian Rhapsody, and Crazy Rich Asians. Now, Crazy Rich Asians is the only one that is not on the list for the Best Picture for the Academy Awards, which you probably think that's accurate.
This is the worst category at the SAG Awards this year, for whatever reason, because there were two obvious choices I thought that should have been in there instead of Bohemian Rhapsody and Crazy Rich Asians. One is The Favorite, which our colleagues mentioned.
How are they all nominated and not Best Ensemble?
It makes zero sense. Zero sense. And all the men in the film are great, too, because they're all like made up and all this ridiculous makeup. And it's like it's a great gender switch.
Yes.
Where, like, the men are just on the periphery, and it's really about these women who are just stripped of their makeup, and they're just so raw and incredible. And then If Beale Street Could Talk, I feel that would be the other one, would be the obvious.
They're
just talking about Brian Tyree Henry. The whole cast is great. So yeah, I don't really know how Bohemian Rhapsody got in there, since it's really a Rami Malek show. You don't really remember anyone else except, hey, I saw that kid in Jurassic Park, and that's it. And then Crazy Rich Asians, you know, I understand the importance it has in the industry. Yes, we need more inclusivity. I want many, many, many more films like this, but are better than this. I felt like this one was just a good film to break open the door, but I didn't think it was a great work of cinema. It's a fun movie, but not Best Picture quality by a long shot.
Well, since I know one of the cast members for BlacKkKlansman, I think I know which way I'm leaning. Paul Walter Hauser, who played the guy from I, Tonya.
Scene stealer in
I,
Tonya. Oh, my gosh, he's so funny. As the guy who's trying to come up with a plan, and it's just, he's such a blowhard, but he just never stops. He's hilarious.
Yes, and do you remember in the scene in BlacKkKlansman, he has this weird thing he does every time Washington's in the scene. Like, he keeps making this noise.
Yes.
Right? Like, you make like a little gagging noise.
Like gag reflex. Yeah.
Because he has to stand next to a black guy. And I want to ask him, like, was that like something you ran past Spike Lee? Did he tell you to do that? You know, so we'll have
that. That is a great ensemble. I think BlacKkKlansman definitely is deserving of that recognition. And I think if we want to talk a bit about the Oscars, it might win.
Really? Best Picture?
It might win. And I'll tell you why. Because if you're looking at all the number of nominations that each film has gotten and the categories that it's in, only 3 of the 8 nominees in Best Picture have a Best Director and Best Editing nomination. Those are the two kind of make or break categories a lot of years. Is it up for editing? Then maybe it'll get Picture or Director alternatively. There's only 3 films, and it's BlacKkKlansman, The Favorite, and Vice. Those are the only films up for all 3.
Interesting.
So I don't know, but BlacKkKlansman might have its moment.
Well, we shall see. We're going to take a break here. We're going to check in with some of our friends who have a great event to tell us about on Saturday. We're going to talk some more about another awards event and the nominations that Matt wants to touch on as well.
Absolutely.
When we come back in a little bit on 720 WGN. One of the great things about Chicago is there's always something to do, great events, and of course, incredible food and culture. And to talk a little bit about one of the events that's coming up this Saturday, we have joining us, Fernando, remind me your last name, because I have all the event stuff pulled up except for your information.
Nieto.
Mm-hmm. Fernando Nieto joins us in studio. Matt and I were talking to him a moment ago about his family, and I want to talk to him about this event you have coming up, Dia de la Concha. And this is a pastry that you're going to have some of the best bakeries from all over the city converging on one place. And basically, everyone should stop eating their carbs right now in order to enjoy this event.
Absolutely. Save them up for the weekend. You're going to need them.
Now, tell us about La Concha, for people who don't know about this pan dulce.
So the concha is, in my opinion, one of the most iconic pastries in Latino culture. It's the most popular. And so, you know, our organization, Grassroots Events, we focus on creating community events. And so we're from Pilsen. We have some of the best bakeries in the neighborhood, and we do a couple of other themed festivals, but we realized that we did our research, not only in Chicago, but across the country, there is no festival or special event dedicated to pan dulce. So we said, you know what, we're going to take it into our own hands. This is our second year. And so we've invited 5 of the best bakeries from across the city to feature their own takes on this iconic pastry. So we're not going to just have traditional conchas, but each bakery is doing a unique take on it.
Oh, they are. So they're putting their stamp on it a little bit.
Absolutely.
It's kind of like whenever you have these festivals, whether it's bacon or, you know, wings and things like that, people want it. They up the game, don't they?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And so we asked each bakery to come up with their own take on it. So El Nopal Panaderia, they're from Little Village. They have excellent bakeries too. They're making concha ice cream sandwich. So they cut it in half, they stuff it with their favorite ice cream, tons of toppings.
Come on.
Nuevo León, which is the Pilsen bakery that we have, they do what it's like the hottest trend. It's called the mante concha. It's the bottom half is cupcake and the top half is the bread that you would use in a concha.
Come on.
With the same beautiful pattern on top. And we even have independent bakeries. They're called Herbal Notes. So they do pop-up dinners around the city. They're doing a savory concha that's stuffed with puerco and salsa verde.
Oh, come
so
on.
It's savory,
really?
And sweet. And yeah. We're pulling out all the stops. So it's not just your traditional pan dulce. We're making it special.
And tell us about the venue where you're holding this event.
It's going to be at the Zalbi Arts Center in the Bridgeport neighborhood. And the address for that is...
That's all right. I know. I'm the same way. I'm like, what's your last name?
I'm sorry. Let me...
hold on. It's at 1029 West 35th Street, right?
Exactly. Thank you.
It's all right.
Yeah. Free parking. Admission is $10 for adults, $1 for children.
Oh.
And we do want to let people know that this is a fundraiser event. So... our team doesn't make any money off of it. We donate 100% of the net proceeds to, for this year, our beneficiary is Mujeres Latinas en Acción. They're a Pilsen-based nonprofit that helps survivors of domestic assault and sexual abuse, and they have other vital programs as well, and they need our help. So we decided to donate 100% of the proceeds that we make off of this event to them.
What a wonderful idea.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's incredible. I just want breakfast now.
I know.
That sounds so good.
Well, and there are a lot of cultures that have that where the bakery is kind of the center of the community. I didn't understand that until I went to Mexico with my mom, and like for her, like all these memories of the candies and the pastries. There's a great restaurant in San Antonio called Mi Tierra, which has a world famous bakery with all these incredible pastries. And I mean, people just stand there and you can see in their faces like how much this has been so much a part of their lives. Mm. You know?
Yeah, exactly. The concha, it's not just a food. It's a staple in Latino culture. So whether it's a birthday party, a funeral, a quinceañera, or just a Sunday morning, there's usually some type of pan dulce on the kitchen table.
Yeah, there was somebody who brought a box and I brought them home. My mom was like, she's so excited, and they were incredible. And it has changed a lot because you have everyone kind of experimenting with all these different flavors. You mentioned sweet and savory, and now with different elements, whether it's ice cream or you know the cupcake, which I don't, my mind is blown. Now it sounds like this is going to be a pretty popular event. How are you separate? Like you have a couple of tasting sessions, right?
Correct. So it's split up into session A and B. Session A runs from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. and then session B runs from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. So it's split up into 3-hour sessions. All the same vendors, all the same bakeries will be a part of it. We have some great DJs, and each session is closing out with a special mariachi performance.
Oh, that's awesome. That's great.
I had mariachi at my wedding, and my husband is Irish, and I'm half Irish and Mexican. And I pushed for and I wish I'd had bagpipers for the church. That should have been the fair thing I would have done.
Sure.
But his family, incredibly Irish, you know, and it was hard for them to like. They would walk in and like all they'd have the horns and the guitar like playing around them. There's nothing more exciting to me and energetic or energizing than a mariachi. I love it.
Yeah, and I'd just like to mention that for session A, we do have they performed last year and they absolutely killed it. They're called Mariachi Sirenas. They are Chicago's first all-female mariachi group.
Mm-hmm.
So they do an amazing job. And for session B, we have Mariachi Universal. They performed at our Michelada Festival last summer. They both are going to put on a great performance. And like I said, the DJs are going to play cumbia and all types of great stuff.
Now tell me, when you have submissions for this, do you tell the bakeries that they have to send you a sample of what they're going to present?
You know what? We're fortunate enough that we shoot our original content for social media and Instagram.
Uh-huh.
We go to each bakery and we take shots. They shower us with pan dulce, and we're extremely grateful for that. Not so much on my belt size, but
right.
You know, we appreciate it.
Such good stuff. And Nuevo León, that's a restaurant that I grew up. My mom took me to since I was little, and they've recovered from their fire. Right? Is it the same location, the bakery, or no?
Actually, that's funny enough. They're just a few blocks apart. Panadería Nuevo León is a separate. Separate business.
It is. I never knew that.
The Nuevo León restaurant. So
okay.
The owners from Nuevo León opened up a Canton Regio, which is right across the street from the old location. But this bakery is
separate.
Separate, correct.
Interesting.
Yeah.
See, I never, because I was so little, my mom started taking me. either, that because my mom always, she decided to live in neighborhoods where she didn't have to rely on speaking Spanish.
Right.
So she never lived in Pilsen or Little Village because she knew that it would be easy for her to rely on Spanish. So we would always take trips to Pilsen and to Little Village so she could get the food, she get the food that she liked, because otherwise in our neighborhood it's all like, you know, bratwurst and spaghetti. So tell me how you came up with the decision to have these events. I know they have the Michelada event, obviously the Dia de la Concha, and what else do you have coming up?
Well, I've created a couple of different festivals. The big sister of all the events is called the My House Music Festival. That's a tattoo I have on my hand. That is a house music festival that we host in Pilsen, and all events are in Pilsen. That was the one that kicked it off back in 2013. We got a hang of it, and we said, hey, let's produce more community events that help raise money for local organizations. So this past summer with the My House Music Festival, we were able to donate $22,500 between three organizations. And so after that, we said, you know what, let's launch another one. So we produced the Pilsen Taco Festival. We were able to raise $5,000 for the Dreamer organization that runs out of Benito Juarez High School in Pilsen. Mm-hmm. Then we launched the Dia de la Concha. It was a big hit last year, and we had to upgrade venues because it was so incredibly popular. And so last year we donated $2,500 to Elevarte Studios based out of DeBoer Park. Mm-hmm. And our new donation goal for Dia de la Concha this year is $7,500 with a stretch goal of 10 grand. So, you know, we need all the support we can. We try and make all of our events as affordable as possible for the community. Kids are $1, adults are 10. And we just want to make it clear to everybody that myself or my organization or our team, we don't make a penny off of this. We really want to focus that, you know, this is a community event, and, you know, without getting too political, funding for vital programs and organizations across the city, it's getting cut left and right. And so we felt like it was our mission to not only produce community events, but to help support organizations that are vital to our community.
And again, the organization that they're helping is Mujeres Latinas en Acción. And you can go to eventbrite.com for information about the event, and there's a link, right?
Yeah, and they can go to our website,
yes.
Which is www.diadelaconcha.com. It's DiaDelaConcha.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can search us on Facebook, Instagram. We're there. The links are everywhere. And, you know, we're trying to really hit that donation goal for them this year.
This is a wonderful way to explore a community that you may not be familiar with. Or for those of you who are familiar with the area, you can go and enjoy. Oh, this is in Bridgeport. So you can enjoy this event with so many people who are celebrating this wonderful pastry, as well as raising money for a great organization. And again, go to the website, diadelaconcha.com, and enjoy the pastries with everybody.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations on this. And again, you can also find a link there probably to donate in case they can't come to the event.
Absolutely. There is an option on our website to donate if you can't make it, whether it's $1 or $10, every penny counts. We know that the people at Mujeres Latinas en Acción will put every penny to good use.
Thank you so much, Fernando. It was a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you so much for having me. I'd like to be back soon.
Oh, you absolutely. Just email. You got my email now. And thank you to Esmeralda for connecting us to Esmeralda Leon.
Bring pastries next time.
Yeah.
You know what? I did go to the bakery. Truth be told, I did go to the bakery, but it was the end of the day, and I didn't want to bring you guys any of the hard stuff. I did bring you a couple of tickets to the event.
If you're available,
we'd love to have you as a guest. We've got some cool coffee mugs, t-shirts, all types of goodies for you if you can make it.
All right. Well, thank you, Fernando.
Thank you so
much. And I will definitely see you for any of the events you want to let us know about.
Awesome. Thank you.
Have a great night. We got to get a selfie before you go, too.
Absolutely.
More after this on 720 WGN. Don't forget that event on Saturdays in Bridgeport. It's Dia de la Concha, and you can go to diadelaconcha.com for more information and help them raise money for an important cause. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios. Joining me in studio is one of the assistant editors from RogerEbert.com and IndieOutlook.com. It's his website. It's Matt Fagerholm.
Such a pleasure to be here.
And I appreciate you being here to talk with me through my Screen Actors Guild ballot.
Absolutely.
Now, Tom, do you watch a lot of the streaming shows or a lot of the series that have been nominated for these awards?
You know, I've been really behind on TV, I will say, because there's just too much to watch. There's so much to watch.
You're absolutely right. You know what I tried jumping back into because it's on the list? I have not watched The Americans since like the third or fourth season.
And that's been winning up a lot of the awards.
It
right
has.
Now.
And because it was their last season, I suspect that they're going to win again, don't you think?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I love Kerry Russell. I mean, and it's a fantastic show. And it's one of those scary things like Veep, where it's like the more the show's on, the more it becomes our reality. You know,
it's true. Well, but and I like, now I have not watched Better Call Saul. I know that a lot of people love that show.
Oh, it's my grandma's favorite show.
Oh, is it really?
So, yes.
I love that. The Handmaid's Tale, I love. Ozark, I love. And This Is Us, I've never seen a single episode.
No,
it's gotten to the point now where it's almost like
a national... It was too aggressive in the marketing. I was just like, stop trying to make me cry in your commercials. Stop it.
Yeah, that's the thing. All I know is that I shouldn't use a crock pot that has bad wiring or something. Exactly. I don't know. So we'll see. My guess is I'm leaning towards either Ozark or Handmaid's Tale is just so good. Then for the best female actor in a drama series are Julia Gardner from Ozark, Laura Linney from Ozark, Elizabeth Moss from The Handmaid's Tale, Sandra Oh, Killing Eve.
Who won at the Globes?
The Golden Globes, yeah. Yes. And then, you know what? I'll bet you she wins for this one.
Yeah, too. I'm thinking
I think so. And poor Robin Wright. I mean, just the tarnish.
I know. Well, I mean, she did what she could in that last season in light of everything. And she's a wonderful actress, too. She deserves more than House of Cards.
She's my Princess Buttercup, man.
Oh, she's the best.
Please, she's a badass as Wonder Woman's aunt.
Absolutely.
What are you talking about?
Absolutely.
Hey, man. Yeah. Princess Buttercup. she went for it.
Yeah, she ain't playing around. Best male actor in a drama, Jason Bateman in Ozark. This is all Screen Actors Guild Awards, by the way. I'm filling out my ballot. Sterling K. Brown, who I do like a lot. He was great at Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yes, and they cut him off last year at the SAG Awards. So if he wins again, they better let him get the full time to speak.
Interesting. Yeah. And then Joseph Fiennes for Handmaid's Tales. I don't know. I can't see. He's such a horrible person on the series. I can't.
I know.
John Krasinski as he's Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan. I enjoy the series. I don't know.
And the best thing he did was A Quiet Place when he directed that this year. That was that was his triumph this year for sure.
I'm going to go with Jason Bateman.
There you go.
And then best ensemble in a comedy are Glow, Atlanta, Barry, The Kaminsky Method, and The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. I'll bet you that Marvelous Mrs. Maisel wins. I love Glow. I love all these.
Yes. And Kaminsky Method is pretty good too. I've watched the first few episodes on Netflix.
So.
I have to ask, can someone please explain this show to me? Because
the Kaminsky Method?
Yeah, I watched like the first episode and I was like, wow, I am wholly uninterested in pretty much all of this. I love Michael Douglas.
It starts very rocky the first episode. I think it's better as it goes on.
Yeah.
The more you really get more into the dynamic between the two men.
Yeah.
Especially Douglas and Arkin.
What's weird is to watch I binge watched Barry and the Kaminsky Method. Basically, it's this weird meta examination of acting, too.
Yeah.
Because you have these acting classes. Henry Winkler does it in Barry.
Oh,
And then Michael Douglas. And so it's weird to watch them go through monologues and talking about being present and, you know, connecting in all these ways.
Haley Joel Osment's sister, one of the students in Kaminsky Method.
Really?
Yeah, she's the one who gives a big monologue in the first episode.
Oh.
In two different ways.
Yes, she's the one that does Steel Magnolias.
Yes.
I did not know that was
her sister.
Yeah,
exactly. She's good.
She was very good. Then, and my guess again, I think it's going to be the Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Everyone loves. Although Atlanta should probably win.
Oh, Atlanta's great too. I know. It's a very strong category, no question about it.
Outstanding performance by a female actor in a series. Alex Borstein for Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Allison Brie in Glow, who I love. I love all these women. Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin.
Yeah.
You wonder if the Marvelous Mrs. Maisel actresses, Rachel Brosnahan, and I think Rachel will win again.
Everyone. Oh, yeah, I think so. Definitely.
Although, how much fun would it be to see Lily Tomlin win?
I know. I mean, with the acceptance speech, you never know what's going to come out of her mouth. That's what I love about her.
and the same thing in the outstanding performance by a male actor in a comedy series, which is Alan Arkin, Michael Douglas, Bill Hader, Tony Shalhoub, and Henry Winkler. I could watch any one of those guys give a great performance.
And that's, I mean, it's so weird to see Douglas going against Arkin, where it's usually be delineated as supporting or lead. They're all just kind of thrown together.
Yeah,
so.
Although I kind of would pick Alan Arkin over Michael Douglas a little bit.
Arkin's just one of the greats. One of the all-time.
Genius.
Great. Yeah.
So, did you ever see The Odd Couple?
Oh, yeah.
So, Serpentine Shell. Serpentine is one of my favorite things. I just say it randomly. No one knows what I'm talking about. Female actor in a TV movie series or limited series, Amy Adams for Sharp Objects.
She gets my vote right away.
I have not
seen Patricia Arquette in Escape at Dannemora, and that's gotten a lot of acclaim as well.
I started watching it, and it's really good.
Yeah, so I think that'll be neck and neck between them, because they tied at the Critics' Choice Awards, I think. So.
But Patricia Clarkson did win the Golden Globe.
And she's great.
Yeah.
She's scary as heck
really
in that
good.
Show. Yeah.
Penelope Cruz. Okay, so I started watching this series, The Assassination of Gianni Versace.
I love the OJ show. I have not seen Gianni Versace.
I think that this it doesn't quite accomplish what the O.J. story did for the same for effects as American Crime Story.
And I hear it's much more graphic. I hear it's harder to watch just in terms
she's
of subject
great,
matter.
Oh, she
Penelope
is.
Crows?
Yeah. She is mesmerizing. Yeah. And Emma Stone in Maniac, which I have not seen. So Amy Adams was a spellbinding in that. Antonio Banderas for male actor in a TV movie or limited series for Genius Picasso. Darren Criss for The Assassination of Gianni Versace. Hugh
Who
Grant.
Won? I think he's the lead
contender. Probably.
But Hugh Grant is incredible in A Very English Scandal.
So
it might
good.
Be his best performance ever.
Yep.
So,
although
I hope more people see it.
I don't even know about Anthony Hopkins in King Lear. I have no idea.
Yeah, he's good. I think it's on Amazon or something.
Bill Pullman. Now, The Sinner is a really dark, very good series.
I should see that.
I enjoyed that one a lot. Now for stunts, you wanted to talk a little bit about stunts.
I just don't think it's a contest this year. I mean, I like that they are acknowledging film stuntmen because it's people just you don't really think about it. But Mission Impossible Fallout is the winner. I'm sorry.
Okay.
It's the winner. I want the guy to win who had to jump backwards out of an airplane with a camera strapped to his head.
Oh.
Like tons. They said like almost like 100 times just to make sure that Tom Cruise is just the right distance away hurtling towards him and he has to be like the right focus. Like that's apparently how they shot that. Just for that stunt alone, I would give that the award.
Well, plus all the DC movies will. I mean, I'm sorry, the Marvel movies. sorry, everybody. Elliot just woke up. Elliot Serrano is like, what are you doing? All the Marvel movies, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Avengers Infinity War, and Black Panther will probably.
A lot more CG. Yeah. Mission Impossible.
And I have no idea what the Ballad of Buster Scruggs is.
It was supposed to be a Netflix series by the Coen brothers, but then they just kind of made it just one big anthology film, and it's extremely uneven. I was not the biggest fan, but there's some brilliant stuff in there.
Okay.
And I'm glad it's up for best song at the Oscars because the song is hysterical, sung by Tim Blake Nelson. So,
I have no idea. So I will have to check it out. And
yes.
The final nomination for the Screen Actors Guild Award. Again, the Screen Actors Guild awards are on this Sunday night, and Megan Mullally is hosting.
Yeah, I'll definitely be checking
it.
It'll be
fun.
Yeah.
And so the final nominations for Stunt Ensemble in a television series are GLOW, Marvel's Daredevil, Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan, The Walking Dead, and Westworld. I'm going to say Westworld will probably. I would imagine.
Well, I'm most excited for Alan Alda getting the Screen Actors Guild Lifetime Achievement
Award. That's right. So that'd
be nice.
He is wonderful.
He's a legend.
Looking forward to that speech. Well, we're going to talk about another category, another awards that were the nominations were announced yesterday.
Oh, the Indie Spirit Awards. They were announced a bit a while ago, but the Oscars are out, it's even more special at just how much they're different from the Oscars in good ways.
We'll talk about that in a little bit. We're going to take a break here, then the news on 720 WGN. You're listening to the Patty Vasquez Show, live in the Allstate Skyline Studios. Matt Fagerholm joins me. He is the assistant editor at RogerEbert.com, and IndieOutlook.com is his website. And Vic, we have a question for you, by the way. We were listening to your weather broadcast. Did you say 6 to 8 inches of disgustingness?
I didn't say 6 to 8. What we see, and these are forecasts from the WGN Chicago Weather Center from our TV meteorologists. They're saying 3 to 6 inches for the folks in the north and northwest suburbs. Ooh. That's by tomorrow.
Okay,
by tomorrow when this is all said and done. If you're in the city, they're calling for 1 inch to 3 inches. But I think that's mainly neighborhoods up on the north side.
Okay, I just know it's disgusting, and like whatever number you threw out there, I think I just kept adding to it.
Oh yeah, it feels like it.
Oh, if you've been outside, this is not snow, and it's not slush, and it's not rain. It's disgust. It's something just painful.
Yeah,
that lands
it's its own form of precipitation.
Yeah,
it's right. Not going to be fun to shovel.
No.
It's so hard this time of year to do these forecasts in 30 seconds as well, because you've got a big area, the Chicago area, you know, all the suburbs up in the north side and the west side, the south side, they're seeing different precipitation.
Yes.
The north
yes.
side's going to see straight snow. The south side is going to see probably something like straight rain. It's going to just turn to rain. And then in the city, we get a little bit of both, so... We'll
so
see.
Much more nuance to the whole thing.
Yeah.
There is. And everyone, please be careful. And the people that I was, the folks I was thinking about, Matt, you mentioned this off the air, are truckers. Have to figure out some sort of strategy. There were 3 pulled over on the Kennedy, and I was wondering if they were pulling over to evaluate. Because the Kennedy, when I started coming down tonight, was tight, like around the junction where 94 and 90 merge.
Yeah.
And it was pretty tight there. And then not long after that, I saw 3 semis pulled over. It didn't seem like there was an accident or anything. And I was wondering wondering if they were kind of checking to see what path they're going to take from there, right? Because there's a lot of different choices they might have to make at that point with the weather changing. So any of our truckers out there want to let us know, or anybody on the roads, please be safe, first of all. But if you want to update us on how it is where you are, 312-981-7200, we would love to hear from you. You can text us to that number. I know many of you do a voice to text. It's just easier, perhaps while you're traveling. Yeah. And we also, by the way, we're about to talk about the Spirit Awards, the Independent Spirit Awards. One of our listeners, Matt, texted us and said, from the 816, the best acceptance speech ever was at the Independent Spirits Awards, and it was Ally Sheedy for High Art.
Oh, that is interesting. Yeah, I'd have to bring up the footage for that one, but it's true. It's that you usually get a lot more impassioned speeches when it's not just, okay, here's the orchestra playing them off. I think there is a little bit more of a looseness to the Spirit Awards that you don't get in some of the other shows. And I thought the SAG Awards were kind of like that in past years as well, where it's just, this is more, I mean, what's the point of an award show if you don't get to have a good speech, you know?
Yes.
It's not just about being played off by some piano. It's just, no.
How does a film, you know, what are the distinctions, do you think? Because there have been independent films that have made it to the Academy Awards.
Yes.
But this is an independent Spirit Awards for films that are maybe not as high profile, don't have the same kind of marketing and distribution.
Yes, ideally that is what the function of the show should be, but in a lot of recent years, and I think Weinstein had some stuff to do with this, it was like, there's always going to be the big Oscar player in each of the categories, and no matter how small the films are that are also nominated around it, it's just going to be another accolade to fill the shelf of whatever's going to win the Oscar. What's great about this year is that everything up for Best Picture, or, you know, Best Feature, I should say, and then Best Director, none of those nominees correlate with the Oscars,
right,
which is great. So then that means we're really going to get people acknowledged who were overlooked.
That's
at
wonderful.
The Oscars. Yeah.
So tell us about some of the nominations. Before you do, though, Vic, I don't know if you happen to have the information in front of you, but we're being asked for a pinpoint forecast. You ready, Vic? Someone wants to know what the weather is like in Palatine, please.
Ooh, Palatine.
Do we have a specific?
Don't have Palatine's forecast in front of me right this second, but I'll do my best.
I think you're looking for the Skilling report, because he has done pinpoint, like centrally, like he'll do like intersections of what the weather is going to be like.
Oh, Skilling doesn't report the weather. He is the weather.
He truly is.
He teaches the weather.
Yeah.
He has the PhD in weather.
Let's get Tom Skilling on the line. He has a PhD.
Hey, wake up, bud.
Yeah, come on. Got
weather
work
don't
to do.
Sleep.
No, that's right.
Oh my gosh.
Yes?
Tom Skilling just walked in here. He must have been listening.
That would be wild.
He's got a cape on.
Don't freak me out, man.
Hey there, Patty.
My husband, one time, there was some severe weather coming through, and so he was awake listening to, and my husband's bed, his side of the bed is right up against the windows, and Skilling was talking about the likelihood of a tornado, whether it was that night, but also, like, it's not a matter of if, but when a tornado touches down in Chicago. So my husband, like, in the darkness, was freaking out, because Skilling was so dramatic about the weather.
I know, it's incredible. It's like listening to like a radio play. Yep. You know? It's like, when are the aliens going to invade? You never know.
So tell us, yes, Vic?
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, if you go by the forecast, you know, Palatine being in the northwest suburbs, not far northwest suburbs, I think the 3 to 6 inches that Skilling is talking about that could come by the end of this snow, which is supposed to taper off, I think, late morning, early afternoon. If you go by that forecast, 3 to 6 inches in the far northwest. So I would say somewhere less than three, you know, maybe a little less than 3 to 6. It might be something like the top for Palatine might be around the 4 range, you know, 2 to 4 inches by tomorrow afternoon.
So, and it'll be that sloppy stuff too. Heavy,
no,
wet, sloppy stuff. So tell us what jumped out at you for the Independent Spirit Awards.
Well, what jumped out at me, first of all, was that the Spirit Awards realized that women made movies this year, which is great. I mean, we keep talking about Can You Ever Forgive Me? That's Marielle Heller. We should mention the director. She was not nominated at the Oscars, but her film is certainly up for many things. And she's one of the best filmmakers working right now. For Best Director, I'll just say, okay, so 3 of the 5 directors nominated at the Spirit Awards are women. Deborah Granik for Leave No Trace. That was one of my favorite films of the year. Tamara Jenkins for Private Life, and Lynn Ramsey for You Were Never Really Here. And it was just really nice seeing that they're nominated alongside Barry Jenkins for If Beale Street Could Talk, and Paul Schrader for First Reformed, another of my favorite films of the year. So I think overall it's just a much stronger assemblage. I don't, personally, for me.
And you were saying that these awards are Academy Award weekend, so it's on the 23rd for
yes,
the Independent
Yes, this is the
Spirit.
Saturday right before the Sunday, so it's February 23rd.
So you can have your you know, your checklist, and then you can can also have your, you know, prepare for the elections and see what who you're going to vote for.
I know. It's huge. Boom, boom, boom. Spirit Awards, exactly. Oscars, elections. Absolutely. Yeah, right. Yes. I mean, well, and Best Feature, my favorite film of the year, Eighth Grade. That's up for Best Feature, along with First Reformed. If Beale Street Could Talk. I keep forgetting that doesn't have a Best Picture nomination at the Oscars, but it doesn't. Leave No Trace and You Were Never Really Here. Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of really good. And then this film called The Tale. This, people keep not seeing this as a film, but it was. It premiered at Sundance, but HBO is really the one that's been distributing it, so you can see it on there. But it's by Jennifer Fox. Incredible movie. Laura Dern's the star of it. People should check this out.
I love Laura Dern.
It's incredible. And it's the filmmaker's going back to this relationship she had as a young girl with this much older man, and she starts to realize, oh my gosh, this guy took advantage of me, and I wasn't aware of it until I was, you know, in my middle age years, like looking back on things. And it just shows how, you know, the human mind, the way we try to contextualize trauma, it's a very complex thing where sometimes it'll take decades for you to really start dealing with it. But and this filmmaker it's about her life. She's actually grappling with it and inviting you to be part of the journey, and it's incredible. So The Tale.
Oh, Matt is forcefully HBO. Pointing at me to watch The Tale.
Yes. Especially if you like Laura Dern. I love Laura Dern. You can't miss it.
Let me interrupt this conversation to welcome to the conversation one of our favorite listeners. It's Trucker Rich. Hey, Trucker Rich. How are you doing?
Hey, Patty. How are you guys doing tonight?
Very well. How's it where you are?
Well, I start my night out by I-39, you know, out west of Chicago there. Uh-huh. And it was sloppy snow cover with real big wet snowflakes. So on 88, you know, we were running 55. And then when you get in by Aurora there at the 56 Sugar Grove Split, it just turned into rain. And it's just been posted speed limit ever since, and I'm over by 65 in Indiana now, so, and I'm showing about 36 degrees in Hammond, so.
Oh, boy.
Are you worried? If it don't get cold, it'll be a nice night.
I was going to say, if it gets colder, then you have to worry about that ice, yeah. those icy roads and black ice. And in particular, I'm guessing for you, a lot of the problems are the hesitant drivers. Does that continue to be, is that one of the issues you have?
What was that? I missed that. I'm sorry.
Hesitant drivers, you know, the folks who kind of like, oh, maybe realize they're overestimating their abilities to handle the weather and then make choices that might put you in danger.
Yeah, that I always leave a little bit of extra room. I'm like my wife says, I drive like a grandpa.
But, you know, I've
got enough miles under my belt that I'm not going to say the word. I haven't had an accident in over 35 years, and that one wasn't my fault, so I don't know. I just take my time.
It's the best track record you can have.
I got two sayings, you know, never fly faster than your guardian angel can fly. and you can get there a million times by going too slow, but all it takes is one time trying to get there too fast.
Yeah,
so true.
You know.
Oh, Trucker Rich, I have an announcement to make that I just found out earlier today. I don't know that if you are on social media at all, but Dr. Dingman is going to be in the area on Valentine's Day. I don't know if that's something you'll be able to do, but he's going to be at the Comedy Shrine in Aurora on Valentine's Day, and I'll be appearing with him that night, too.
Ooh, sweet.
Is that a weekday or weekend?
It's a Thursday. I'm sorry. It's a Thursday. Oh. I know.
Oh, yeah.
I'll try to get some video up of that as well, because I'm sure that he'll have some
video.
All right,
that's cool. All right. And tell him I said hi.
I will.
Especially from me.
I just booked him.
You know the story with me and Dr. Dingman.
That's right. And he'll be, I booked him today since he's doing his appearance. He asked to be booked on the show for next Wednesday for sure. So he's in the books. I can take a photo and show you that I wrote him down.
I totally trust you. Yep. I mean, you're my co-driver, so, you know, I got to trust you.
All right, I will. I appreciate that. I'll try to do my best, sir.
Okay. You take care and drive safe.
Yes.
And if you're worried about, you know, you've always asked about, like, passing trucks when they're spraying stuff.
Yeah.
In the wintertime, you want it to be spraying, because if there's spray, that means there's no ice.
Right, that's true. It's all smushy. That makes sense?
Yeah, if it looks shiny and there's no water coming up off of tires from the cars or trucks around you, then that might be ice. So
be careful.
I'm
everyone.
Keep that in mind. Yeah,
yep.
That's good.
Yep.
Well, thank you
all
so
right,
much.
You guys have a good evening, and I'm going to try to keep it on the road and keep listening to you.
Appreciate that. Be well. Talk to you later, Trucker Rich.
All right.
Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
We were talking earlier about Sam Elliott, and the 312 says, as another huge Sam Elliott fan, I just wanted to weigh in, Patty, that you must watch last year's movie Hero starring Sam. He also has an interesting movie coming out in a couple weeks called The Man Who Killed Hitler. and then killed Bigfoot.
And then the Bigfoot.
Wait a minute. Wait.
The Bigfoot. Wait. Like the Batman.
That's all one title?
Yeah, that's the whole title. So it could just be a big gimmick, but I mean, how can you resist a film with that title and Sam Elliott starring?
I don't think you should.
No, I don't think it's. No.
I don't think
it's not humanly possible.
Tom, you look as though you were familiar with this soon to come out movie.
I'm just so in on this. Like that's that's put all your chips on the man who killed Hitler and then the Bigfoot.
The Bigfoot.
Yeah. The Bigfoot. love that.
Before we go to the break, I do want to say we haven't had a chance to revisit this conversation because Elliot Serrano has not joined us. Now, Elliot Serrano got into an argument with Sue the T-Rex from the museum, the Field Museum.
Oh, he got into an argument with the T-Rex.
With the T-Rex, because Sue contends that Indiana Jones was not a good archaeologist, that he was just a grave robber and didn't kill Hitler when he had a chance.
Oh, interesting. So, I never even thought of it that way.
Oh, there's a whole thread between Elliot and Sue the T-Rex, and actually then he came on the air, and she did not engage. I don't know if the... perhaps just the Twitter is the her place of communication, but...
Yes, yeah. Indiana Jones. I mean, he's just more of a museum curator. That's it. It's just this belongs in a museum. That's it.
That's true. That's a good point. Yeah. And he's very good at avoiding poisonous darts and rolling boulders, I guess.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And he should have stayed with Karen Allen from the first movie.
I have to agree with him on that.
She should have been a recurring character in all the movies.
As a kid who grew up as a brunette and boys always liked the blondes, and when the Temple of Doom came out, I'm like, really?
I know.
I was so bummed because Karen Allen was kind of a tomboy, too.
I know. She's amazing.
Tough. Yeah.
So, yeah, and poor Kate Capshaw saddled that horrible role, but Spielberg liked her well enough to marry her. They're still together, so
yeah.
Happy ending off screen.
And again, Amy Irving, the brunette, gets left behind in the dust.
I love Amy Irving.
Okay, before we, again, okay, one more thing, because now have you ever seen the movie Crossing to Lancy?
No.
Oh, this is a movie. I wonder if you, so my husband, when we started dating, there were like movies that I was required to watch, kind of.
Oh, yes, of course. Every couple has that. It's, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. You
didn't have any for him?
I would have to ask him if there were any that I made him watch, but Crossing to Lancy was one of them. And it's a really sweet movie. It's Paul Riegert and Amy Irving.
Oh, okay, I want to see that.
Yeah, and Amy Irving, I want to say her mother plays like a Jewish matchmaker.
Ah.
So it's a sweet little movie.
You have to see 13 Conversations About One Thing.
Okay.
Starring Amy Irving and Alan Arkin, two of your favorite people.
It's one of
my favorite movies.
All right, done.
Yes.
Okay, then here's another one.
Yes.
Sorry. With also, my husband apparently big Paul Riegert fan, which is Local Hero with Burt Lancaster.
Oh, yes. I think I might have seen this one.
Oh, yeah. By the way, speaking of Paul Riegert and Scott, because I think it takes place in either Wales or Scotland. Tom, a programming note for tomorrow night. I probably need to let engineering know this. I think we're going to have a Scottish pipe band.
Whoa.
In studio.
Oh.
I'm tuning in for this.
But we don't need the performance space, but we probably need to set up like a couple microphones for them, right?
Yes.
Okay, so let's email somebody, because I just found out today. We're going to have some folks in to talk about Robert Burns and how we can raise a toast.
Oh, Robby Burns.
Yeah, so there you go. So we got a piping band tomorrow.
That's incredible.
Let's take a break here, and we will round out the evening with I'm trying to decide. Tom, what do you think? Do you want to do Tell Me Something Good or what we meant to get to with some of these stories? I feel like tonight's what I meant to get to.
Yeah, let's talk some of these stories.
Okay, let's talk some of these stories. All right, more when we come back on 720 WGN.
We didn't have time for it. We didn't have time to talk about it. It did not make the show. It had to go. Maybe next time. I don't know. This is the end of the show. We gotta go. The end of the show.
We are winding down, and Nick D will be taking over in just a few moments. And there were some great stories, some interesting stories, and maybe some sad stories that we didn't get a chance to talk about. Jason Skaggs a few years ago put this little medley together for me. We didn't have time for it. So, Matt, this is one of the first times that you've heard this segment.
Yeah, so I'm excited.
Yeah, I don't know if you heard this story a couple years ago. In Evanston in 2015, a neighbor saw someone trying to fix their car, and she thought they were trying to steal it. Turned out it was a black doctoral student in the Northwestern PhD program. It was his own car.
Oh,
he was removed from the car and tackled. The city of Evanston will now be paying him $1.25 million to settle a lawsuit. And they arrested him for stealing a car that was actually his.
That was his.
It was and that was the before calling Barbecue Becky, you know, when Barbecue Becky was calling people for having a good time.
This
is a guy fixing car.
Yeah.
We in Arizona, lawmakers want porn to fund Trump's border wall. So I think this is a very interesting solution to a problem, and perhaps this goes beyond the GoFundMe situation, which apparently all that money will have to go back to the folks that try to donate it, because that's not how things work.
No,
but this is a lawmaker who is trying to pass legislation. This is a GOP lawmaker. He says that this is Gail Griffin, who says that they would like to require electronics manufacturers to pre-install porn blocking software on electronic devices bought or sold in the state. And in order to deactivate the blocking software, they have to prove that they're 18 years old and pay a one-time fee of $20 to the Arizona Commerce Authority. And then that way you can help raise some money for the wall. I don't think it's going to help before. That makes it a sticky situation.
Can we just build a wall? Can we just build a wall around Trump and then reopen the government? Can we just do that? It'll be a much less expensive wall just around one man.
I don't know. I think there are plenty of memes like that, though, too. Have you seen the one where they kind of are putting the bricks up?
I would love that.
Yeah, I'm not sure. This seems like a creative solution to a problem. So... Yeah.
It's a bold strategy.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bold strategy. We'll have to just see how it plays out. But I don't know. Was it a Republican or
Democrat? It's a Republican. This is a Republican who has this problem solution.
It seems kind of at odds with the general. And, you know, I don't speak for, you know, I'm not trying to apply anything to all Republicans or anything like that. But aren't they generally for small government?
But it's also porn involved, so they feel like maybe people would deter those who, I think $20 is not a big enough deterrent.
I've seen people spend $50 on Amazon on like literally nothing.
Well, right, to make your computer porn friendly, I guess is what they're going basically.
Good lord.
I'm just saying, you gotta have your keyboard covers ready. The bill defines porn as patently offensive. The material lacks literary, artistic, political, or scientific value. So then I also wonder, like, what are they going to say is pornographic material on these computers as well?
I find One Direction patently offensive. Did I make it pornography? It's whatever happened to I know it when I see it.
Yeah, that's the entire... Well, that was on the Republican platform for the Republican convention.
I can't define pornography, but I know it when I see it.
Me too, and I didn't know that you had to remove all the hair. Journalist was fired after... Oh, this is the Covington students. A journalist was fired after wishing death on the Covington Catholic High School students, and that is a story that got out of control for everybody. And you made an interesting point, Matt. Like, why was this even a story?
Yeah. Right?
It was an
image.
The
more we just give attention to it, just like Trump, the more it's just going to overtake everyone's senses. And I'm sick of seeing that smug expression, no matter what was motivating it.
Everybody was at lost their mind, and including myself. It was the imagery, you know, it was one of those things. I watched way more of the black Hebrew Israelites yelling at people for an hour and 46 minutes than I ever thought I was going to. Tom, I felt like I needed to know what it had. And there was a lot of crazy stuff in there, but it's just like when I'm walking down the streets in Chicago downtown area, there are preachers and yelling all kinds of things about how I'm going to hell, and you just keep, you know what, Roe, another producer here, who said her mom always told her, you know, if it's not about you, let it go, right?
Yeah.
If it doesn't apply, let it fly.
Exactly.
And no one did this in that situation.
No.
Now, I don't know if you heard this story that Tom has given me. James Gandolfini's son, Michael Gandolfini, has been cast as Tony Soprano in the prequel movie Sopranos.
Really? That's very interesting. Has he been in anything?
I've never seen him in anything.
I'm a huge James Gandolfini fan, so that's, I'd definitely check that out.
And he joins John Berthnell,
Berenthal,
Billy Magnuson, Vera Farmiga, and Alessandro Nivola.
That's a good cast. So yeah, I'll definitely check it out.
So we shall.
I'm still thinking about that finale. So.
Would you think they died?
It excites me. It excites me that she tried to park her car twice, didn't work. Worked the third time. Two attempts on his life, maybe this one will happen. But I like that they don't tell you. That's why it resonates, is they don't tell you what
there
happened.
There is a book of conversations with David Chase where he does more or less give the answer. But he also says, like, no, that's not the point, though.
That's right. Right. It's not the point.
That's not the point.
And that's
why
I like it. Yeah.
Find all of Matt's work at RogerEbert.com.
RogerEbert.com and IndieOutlook.com. And we were talking about the in-laws earlier, not the odd couple. That was one other thing.
I was talking about the in-laws.
Thing, just for the record.
The in-laws,
yes.
Peter Falk and Alan Arkin was the movie where Serpentine
and Michael Douglas in the remake. Yes.
In the remake with Albert Brooks.
Yes.
No, don't get everything wrong, Patty. You were so close to just leaving.
And Willem Dafoe played Van Gogh. There we go.
Van Gogh, that's right. And the bad guy.
At Eternity's Gate.
There we go.